the last time I was here, I was like, oh my gosh, hashtags, that's like the thing. And now they're still relevant, they're still important, but not as much as other things that are shifting. So it's cyclical, it will change. The next quarter, I will probably tell you something different, but that's my job. I'm here to track it.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Pegasus Equine Entrepreneurs. This week, we are sitting down again with Connor from Cardinal Marketing. The response we had from our listeners on our last podcast with Connor was so good that we've invited Connor back to be a regular on the show. And so starting today, Connor will return every quarter to share his wisdom with our listeners on everything he has learned about social media marketing in the equestrian economy from his time in the trenches with his own social media marketing company, Cardinal Marketing. Our hope is that we can take the legwork out of social media marketing for all of you so you can tune in here once a quarter, learn some new strategies and apply them rather than having to go out and try a million different things yourselves with time you don't have. So enjoy this pod. I hope you learned something. And as always, please tell your friends about the podcast and the Pegasus platform so that we collectively can transform this industry and propel it into the future. All right, team, we'll see you on the other side.
And like I said, so Connor didn't know that we actually make the fudge.
We're
tech
churning and burning
pioneers by day and chocolate chip by night.
Wildly impressed when Jen told me. I literally was like, "Don't ask me why," but I literally was imagining y'all like churning butter like the Amish people. But it was like,
Connor, I kid you not. So the Equitan and I did two batches, big batches, but two batches over the course of 2 days. This time at Fairhill, I decided to put them all in one huge pot, which was, I don't know, I guess an oversight. Because I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just get it all done at once. So the issue was, is you have this huge quart, like, or not quart. How many quarts are in that pot?
I don't even know what a quart is. What's a quart?
Okay.
Why don't Americans use liters like the rest of
the world? I'm not good at math. I don't know.
It was a big ass pot. And so, and the secret to good fudge is you constantly have to stir, but you're adding like butter and then you're adding chocolate and you're adding marshmallows and you literally are stirring nonstop for an hour plus. And so we had this, and you just get exhausted. And there's a big pot. I'm short. So I'm trying to like do this over the pot and stir, and my biceps are throbbing. I don't know if you could tell, but these new guns are from the fudge. And so,
wow, look at you go.
I'm flexing. Goodness. And we had to get a stool with a blanket to like perch, just as like what you're describing with the Amish, just like churning the butter for an hour. It was hilarious.
So, yeah, it pretty much was what you were envisioning.
I'll send photos.
It sounds, yeah, I we need video evidence of like Jen just like churning out butter.
Yeah. Well, Connor, it's a pleasure to have you back.
I'm back. You couldn't get rid of me. how are you both doing?
Oh, doing good.
We're great. You know, just keeping on, keep building the company, build the technology, try and solve the horse world's problems one step at a time.
Yep. Equitana and no pressure. Equitana and Fairhill have been wrapped up with a bow, and now we're thinking about all the upcoming events and all the things that we get to cross promote with Cardinal Marketing, and it's just really exciting.
Yeah, no, it's been a busy event season. Obviously, y'all have had a lot going on. I've had a lot going on. We've been able to do some collaboration and sort of like, I don't know, both have a presence at events like GMI, obviously, which was awesome. So yeah, it's been just a super busy event season, but that's also a good thing. I feel like people are back out in full force. They're, you know, wanting to do things, go out, especially in the equestrian world. I feel like it's just been nonstop events. So yeah, it's been crazy since I came on last.
Yeah, it has been a few months, I believe, since we had you last. So let's talk about it. Where have you been these last few months? What was summer like for you?
Yeah, so it's been insane, but in the best way. I feel like super fortunate. The summer really kicked off sort of with the start of the All-Pro Polo match that VUP and Beverly Equestrian put on, which was great. We had a ton of high goal polo players out here in Hunt Country, including Nacho. Shout out to Nacho. That was awesome. Super cool. So yeah, it's been great. And then obviously networking through the entire polo season. Another key sort of equestrian highlight was definitely NBTRP's I guess their Ride to Thrive Polo Classic, which we also just hosted at Great Meadow.
What does that stand for?
Yeah. All these acronyms. What do these acronyms mean?
Yeah. So NBTRP is Northern Virginia Therapeutic Riding. NBTRP. What does the P stand for? Program?
Program, okay. Most likely.
Don't quote me on that. So, yeah. So, but no, they do, they have an incredible mission of just providing like local therapeutic riding services to, disabled, children, veterans, really anybody who's in need in our community. And they actually had a record breaking year. They raised, I think, almost $200,000. So it was incredible, you know, just really great turnout. Lots of people showed out to support. We even had, one of the Real Housewives of New York there, which was just like fun. I don't know any Real Housewives fans out there, but, that was super cool. It was Sonia Morgan. I think she actually goes by a different last name. I know that.
Is she an equestrian?
Irrelevant. So I don't know if she's an equestrian, but I do know she has a house in Loudoun County up here in Hunt Country, because she actually tagged Virginia Gold Cup last year in some stuff. So I know she's either kind of local or has, you know, a presence up here in Loudoun. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it was just a really, really great experience to, again, be able to go out, do more events, and just be out, you know, enjoying people and things. So
was she noticeably more glamorous than the average person?
Yes, she was fabulous. Will you hire me? she was lovely. I only had a chance to meet her very briefly. She was obviously taking a ton of photos that day and I was running around like crazy. So didn't get a huge opportunity to speak with her, but I hope she comes to Gold Cup this Saturday at Great Meadow. Gates open at 10.
Awesome. Well, it almost sounds like, well, in addition to some of the fundraising components, this was the summer of polo. I mean, this was an exceptional summer of polo where you were at the middle axis, kind of controlling it going around you. So
yeah.
So now we're heading into what's the next season? Where are we going into?
You know, I guess now in Hunt Country, at least, and throughout the mid-Atlantic, it's kind of steeplechasing, you know, season. Obviously we have the Gold Cup coming up. The Middleburg Spring Races just happened last weekend. But one of the other things, I mean, it's still kind of shifting into polo season, but now, as you know, we're focusing on Wellington. That's something that's coming up. I'm sure y'all might, you know, travel down there. I'll be down there probably in January. So polo is still at it. Yeah.
That's true. At least here, it's like I know they get to follow the sun. So their world still is in orbit, but we're just not seeing them here.
I know. As much as I love the fall foliage today, it was just so nice out. It made me miss summer and polo and all of that. So yeah. So
how many clients do you have at Cardinal now?
It has grown again by leaps and bounds. I'm already well beyond my initial like 5-year plan. Right now I would say I have 17 clients, which is a lot to manage by myself, but I am actively looking and have a few people in mind for, you know, potential marketing positions and things like that. But it's 17 now. So I've worked with nonprofits, publications, retailers, obviously you all at Pegasus. And even have now a Wall Street Journal bestselling author who was a former U.S. ambassador. And then my newest client, which I think a lot of equestrians are going to love, and he said it was okay if I announced this, is Augustine, the high goal polo player, superstar, protege, all of that. So super excited to also be working with him now.
Right. So...
Hey, are you an equestrian event organizer looking to put on your next clinic or schooling show? Pegasus is about to release its new event management system, which is a modern platform that makes it easy to accept entry registrations, receive digital signatures for your event paperwork, as well as manage the logistics and scheduling of your event. You can even digitally showcase your vendors and sponsors so that brands have much better visibility than the traditional logo on a fence. Pegasus has made it easy to run an event from start to finish with features designed for everyone involved, especially the riders, who can now easily register and receive real-time updates. Gone are the days of running your event through Facebook or tech from the 90s. Check out the launch of the Pegasus Event Management System at www.thepegasus.app. That is www.thepegasus.app.
This is the first show in a quarterly series that we're going to do with you at Cardinal Marketing, where we basically change roles. Rather than us interviewing you, it's going to be more of an opportunity for you to teach us and teach our listeners by association about what is the latest in social media marketing, well, marketing at large, but, you know, with a larger focus on social media marketing, as that is a lot of the tools that a lot of equestrian businesses are out there using. So for our first show, you're going to cover 3 points, I believe, like three main topics. And what are those three topics today?
Yeah. So the three topics are sort of algorithm changes that a lot of social media platforms have been noticing over the past few months. The other one is networking and cross promotion that is still a very, you know, constant theme throughout really any kind of marketing is networking, cross promoting, getting the word out. So more in depth, how do we go about that? And then the last one is sort of coming up and takeaways that I have leading into really 2022, the next quarter, which is hard to believe. So obviously touching upon some recent developments with the October 4th social media meltdown. Some people called it social media Armageddon. So that was fun. But yeah, definitely also touching on that. So I guess in terms of the first topic, algorithm changes, a lot of clients have noticed that their insights, their performance, their engagement isn't as high as it was when I first came on. And that's due to a number of reasons. A number of reasons is that platforms, their algorithms adjust and adapt to user behavior. So in other words, if people are looking for more video content, the algorithms automatically push video content instead of a traditional picture or feed post. So what we're seeing in algorithm changes in this last quarter is, again, Instagram in particular, pushing video content, pushing reels. I think one of their recent updates and features also just revamped the video or IGTV section of your profile as well. So again, to me, it's just a small indicator of video content really being the push forward. And I think on the last podcast I was on, I kind of mentioned how TikTok was kind of a result of the COVID-19 pandemic because everyone was bored in the house. They didn't really know what to do. They wanted something that was new and exciting. And I think that really was a catalyst for TikTok to sort of come on the map and things like that. But what we're seeing from Instagram and Facebook certainly is those platforms, those organizations taking note of TikTok's success and trying to replicate it or emulate it on their platforms. So again, when we see video content being pushed on Facebook, Instagram, you know, everywhere else, it's these organizations being strategic in wanting to maintain and ensure their success in the future. So that way TikTok and other things like that don't run them out of business. So, so that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of video content. We're also seeing the algorithms push special tools and things like that, especially on social media stories with videos. You can now have closed captions and things like that for people who are audibly impaired or have trouble hearing or things like that. They're also pushing the music feature. They're pushing hashtags, locations, things like that. There's an entire breakdown of, like, you know, these things which are pushed the most, and hashtags are actually becoming less important. Video, which is interesting. So before, on the last time I was here, I was like, oh my gosh, hashtags, that's like the thing. And now they're still relevant, they're still important, but not as much as other things that are shifting. So it's cyclical, it will change. The next quarter, I will probably tell you something different. But that's my job. I'm here to track it. So
Right. So just before you move on to the next point, so essentially a good way, so almost like a good litmus test to figure out what sort of content you should be creating in order to get the greatest exposure by the algorithms pushing what you're putting out there, is that if you kind of focus on how Instagram and Facebook, et cetera, what sort of icons they're putting front and center. Or like when you press, you know, create new post, what do they put at the top of the list, et cetera? That's usually indicative of what sort of content they want you to create for their platform, because it's, they make it, they put it first in the center of the screen or at the top of the list. And then that's a good way for you to naturally understand, okay, this is what Instagram wants me to create. So if I create this, then the algorithms are going to push it. And if the algorithm's going to push it, then I'm going to get a greater return on my investment in terms of marketing power for the one piece of content that I put out.
Is that accurate? So whatever Instagram has on their features, that's the most prominent, is typically the thing that rewards you the most for utilizing?
Exactly. That's why when they first came out with Reels and things like that, Reels was the new craze. And it still very much is, because that's a form of video. That's a video medium on Instagram. So again, really video content, as you mentioned, is something they're pushing. And to your point as well about, you know, changes they make and they want users to adapt. One of the things that also changed in the algorithm on Instagram, at least over the past, really, it's only been a matter of weeks, is that they now want you, and some people have actually said on social media accounts and things that I follow that sort of track these things, that saving a post actually helps it to perform better than liking a post. So if you notice, if you open Instagram and you go to post a story or something like that from your shared albums, the latest update actually takes you a completely other way, as opposed to if you go into a post, you could just add it directly into your story. Now they want you to go into your create tab. Once you open your profile, you go to create as if you were adding to story. And then there's like a new swipe down option where you click reshare, and then you go back into your saved posts and you reshare it that way. So it's completely different, but the entire point behind that is that if you save posts, it's going to be easier for you to reshare it moving forward. AKA they're pushing the saving of posts and the saving of content to help them perform better.
Right, that's interesting. And that actually makes sense, because if you're a social media platform and you're selling advertising, right? And especially with Apple putting restrictions on app tracking with the new iPhone updates, it's a very strong indicator when they're trying to sell to advertisers, this person saved that post, which is a very strong indicator that this person likes that content, or they like that product, or they like that company. Mm-hmm. So by forcing people to save things through, by making it a less cumbersome user experience to reshare, they're creating stronger intent signatures that is going to make it easier for them to convince advertisers that this person actually liked this, which ironically, they might not. It might be a completely wrong signature, because you're just saving it because it's easier. You don't actually like it that much more.
This is so interesting. So I didn't know that. And so I'm currently on the Pegasus homepage, right? So I can see all of our posts, right? So on the top upright side of the little, there's a little plus mark, little plus icon, and I click it. And at the bottom says guide, which I've never seen before. I've never been in here except for post or story. There's story, highlight, IGTV, video, reel, live. I'm I don't even want to touch live. guide.
Yeah, so, you'd be great.
I've actually done it accidentally a few times in bad reception areas. And it's like, oh no, good thing my network saved me. If you go to guide, then it takes you to places, products, or posts. And then on posts, it's the recommended posts you created or saved. And so if I click on that, I can literally choose the posts that I've saved and then I can reshare them. That's so interesting. I didn't know this even existed.
Yeah, it's a completely new way of doing it again. And for me too, it was frustrating because as somebody who kind of does this for a living, resharing, reposting, you know, all that, it was like second nature. So every time the algorithm changes, I have to like readjust my way of thinking or how I would normally go about it to get used to like that, you know, however you are supposed to use it now. So
yeah.
Yeah, but no, exactly, Sam. I agree. I think it's really a smart way for advertisers to see a little more return and a little more a stronger indicator of investment. Because if somebody is saving a post, it theoretically means that they really like it and they want to come back to it. When in reality, Jen and Sam, as you both mentioned, it now is really just because people like sharing things to their stories. So that's one of the things with the algorithm is I'm like, okay, like, is it really serving its purpose or is it just creating a less than ideal user experience? Because now the app or the platform decides that they want to appease advertisers and things like that. So, that's the balance, I guess, that you get with social media. It's always changing. It's always evolving. Still very much all the fun tools and video. Again, they really want to make it engaging as possible. That's why they're adding more of these tools, more of these updates, things like that, more music, more GIFs, hashtags, all that. They want you to use it.
Oh, so it is GIF. I didn't know if it was GIF or JIF.
You know, my siblings and I, we fight over it all the time. I say GIF, they say GIF. I hate it. That sounds
really, because I hate GIF. I think GIF sounds super weird.
Really? GIF?
Yeah.
We should have a poll. Is it GIF or GIF?
Yeah.
Well, before we move on from that, because you brought up a topic that I know you kind of teased before, which was the video and how that was coming up and now it's here and it looks like it's here to stay. For those that haven't really dabbled in video and they're just now mastering posts or even consistent posts, which is, you know, big win just to be able to post more consistently than you used to. What would be some of your advice with the video? Are there certain tools that you recommend? Are there certain, you know, I guess just processes that you live by? Like what can you share on that front?
Yeah. So one of the apps that I use to edit videos, any kind of video, if it's going to go into a reel, you know, if it's like a little clip that I'm adding to a reel, or even if it's just something I want to post to my story, an app that I really love using is Prequel. And I don't know if I mentioned that in the last podcast, but it lets you add fun stickers, fun filters, kind of, you know, get it more aesthetically pleasing, if you will, before you post it. So that's one app that I really like for trimming videos and clips and things like that and just editing them. But in terms of like posting and sort of the technical know-how of, you know, how do you do video content right? One of the accounts, which is actually an equestrian marketing account, the handle is The Social Stable. And she posts really, really good content. I would highly recommend it to everybody like listening. It's really good. I think every equestrian business in particular should really listen to her advice and her recommendations. She posts constantly. So she practices what she preaches, which is just like, you know, constant daily postings, putting yourself out there, having fun with it, not taking yourself too seriously. And again, highlighting the algorithm changes, like she is really driving home the fact that you should be using all of these tools that Instagram and Facebook and all these other platforms are pushing because they want you to use it and they're going to promote your stuff over other stuff. So, I would definitely recommend The Social Stable if you want to learn more about what kind of video content, performs well, especially within the equestrian space.
Right.
Cool. That's a good point.
As a social media expert, How would you differentiate a social media expert versus just a commoner in the space? And I mean that in the sense of like, so for example, someone out there has access to the exact same tools as you, but you are an expert at it and you have found ways to make it work for you in ways that someone without the experience and can. What are those key differences that make you put you in the bucket of professional versus the average user?
Yeah, I would say that the average user, or even just the average business, which maybe isn't utilizing social media as effectively as they could, I would say the main purpose is, you know, to be on it, to have a presence, to keep up with your friends, or maybe even your favorite celebrities or the news or whatever it might be. The key differences between that kind of using of, you know, a platform and what I do is that social media is certainly one aspect, but also there's a ton of follow through that goes into what I do to make things run and to make things happen. So social media is a great place to start. It was a great place for me to really start like networking with, especially equestrian businesses that I didn't know personally. So I still think it's a great way to get to know people and to, you know, connect and engage, for sure. But the other thing, you know, that goes into being a professional is follow through. It's, you know, setting up calls, meetings with these people, understanding their projects, their missions, their brands, where they're coming from, what their goals are. So there's a lot that also like a lot of legwork that goes into it. So I would say social media is a good starting point for a lot of people. It was even a good starting point for me. But if you want to be a professional, you also have to, you know, pick up the phone, you've got to be calling, you've got to be meeting with people, you have to, you know, do event planning and partnerships and sponsorships. And so yeah, there's a lot of other stuff that goes into it that I think the untrained eye isn't always thinking about because they're just using it for fun, more or less.
Sure.
Yeah.
For someone who's using it for a business case, so say, for example, a boarding barn that's trying to, you know, attract more clients, et cetera. So they aren't using it in the sense of a social means. They're using it for business, but they aren't professionals.
They're using it as an advertising medium.
Yeah. Well, they're a horse trainer first and they're using social media because it's free to try and gain thing. Mm-hmm. So in that context, what is the difference between someone who really knows their way around the platform versus someone like that? Like, to lead the horse to water, excuse the pun. I mean, like an example of, I'm asking this question because I'm trying to draw out some of the tactics and stuff that you guys do that other people might not even be aware to think of. Mm-hmm. But an example of that might be that, you know, a average user shoots a video with their iPhone, uploads it, finds a filter, writes a caption and press posts. Whereas a professional might be shooting it with their iPhone camera, putting it into a series of other apps that change the colors and the adjustments, add the stickers, researches the correct hashtags, has the right hashtags, has partner accounts, has an ecosystem that it distributes it through, blah, 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 blah. Is there a way you can like kind of sum that up in a way just to give some people some perspective on what someone like you does to like a few tips they could actually implement to make the time they invest in their social media just that little bit more valuable and a little bit better return on their investment?
Absolutely. So what I would say is that if there's a barn that's having or any equestrian business that is having a hard time advertising, they should join Pegasus. It's great.
Wow, you are a professional.
Look at how smooth that was.
That was so good. I didn't
promote that man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that too. So, but no. All jokes aside, I think one of the things is strategic engagement. As you and I, we've all sort of, you know, talked about off camera, off the mic, off the record and things like that, that, you know, it's great, to post and to have a mission, but if you aren't treating social media like dating, as we have said, we've used that analogy before, then you're doing it wrong. And by that, I mean that in dating, you want to court somebody, you want them to see interest in you and value in you, and, you know, vice versa. In social media, it's the same thing. You want to engage with strategically with the accounts and the audience and the groups that you are targeting for a reason, to grow your own recognition, to grow your own brand, you know, to borrow some of their followers if it's a like-minded account. And so that's really, I think, critical, is if your engagement is low, chances are it's probably not because you're engaging well on your own platform. Chances are you're probably not keeping up with DMs or responding to comments or liking posts that you're tagged in, or even just spending, I mean, even the Social Stable, the account that I recommended, she, I think, posted something about how you should be on social media for 3 15-minute intervals at least every day, if your goal is to grow social media. And what that does is it seems like such a small thing, but if people see again that you're active and that you're engaging, and then it's more than just a post, then they're going to start to actually take interest and feel invested in your business and your mission and what you're selling. So that's one of the things is oftentimes I see barns and equestrian businesses that they post here and there, but they don't engage. They aren't using tools. They aren't using video. They aren't using hashtags or anything that's new or trendy or, you know, up to date. A lot of it is a little outdated. It's grainy photos. They might not be active on it for, you know, months on end. There'll be, you know, several months in between posts or whatever it might be. So that's really the disconnect, is it's really just constant engagement, you know, showing people some love, showing people that you're interested and invested in what they have to say, and you're going to get that back in return.
Right. So that's an interesting point, is that, yes, the professionals do have a series of tools that are available to everyone, but they're just the ones that went out and took the time to learn them and use them. They do have a series of tools that do make them better at the navigation and use of the platform. But if that makes up 20% of the increased engagement and attention they can draw, a large part of it is good old-fashioned effort.
If I was a
horse trainer and I was trying to grow my business, literally allocating, you know, you get in from work every afternoon or every night at like say 6-7 PM. If you allocated like between 7 and 7:30 every night, half an hour that you like it's a job, sat down, engaged with people, posted things, replied to replies on your posts, replied to posts by other people, and really dedicated time and effort to do it properly, like that will go a long way to helping you grow your audience and your business on social.
Well, and I think on that point too, which I hadn't really thought about, because I think a lot of these businesses get really tied down into the fact that this is a social media, it's millennial, I have to take photos, and what is a reel? And they get really intimidated about all of the jargon and all of the things that come with having a social media account. But to both of your point, if you're just actively posting and sharing and liking and replying to messages, it goes a long way. And I could see a world in which you have these boarding barns. Yeah, maybe they don't have the editing skills and they don't know what a reel is. But I, as someone who might be interested in boarding my horse at a new boarding barn, if I saw the owner constantly posting videos of the horses, talk, you know, even if it's behind the scenes, just chatting about the hay that they just bought, and oh, here's the farrier, he just arrived, and having that constant touch point and being able to see all the things behind the scenes that make it just that much more personable. And I just think that would go a very long way. You don't have to have all the glitz and the glam.
Absolutely. And there's certainly, I would say that there is, you know, I mean, obviously there's a science to social media, you know, it's constantly changing, it's constantly evolving, but it's also not something that only a handful of people can learn. anybody can learn it. It really, again, is just for me and my experience, I feel as though it's about investment. You have to invest time. Practice makes perfect. If you're not, you know, trying, then chances are you probably aren't growing. And I understand that it can be intimidating. I mean, it doesn't usually happen overnight. Usually growth, it takes months. It takes a year, depending on what your business is and what your goals are. I mean, for us at Great Meadow, you know, we're a nonprofit that is kind of dependent on charitable donations made to us from small donors, from large donors. But obviously one of the key components also is a successful event season with all the equestrian events that we have lined up. And it's taken me, you know, nearly now it's almost coming up on a year being at Great Meadow to really see, starting to see a true tangible return on investment, if you know what I mean. Right. And again, that's like any business. It depends, you know, how many moving parts there are behind the scenes. Sometimes it can take a little bit longer for a businesses to start picking up momentum. But again, it's not going to happen overnight. I think people just have to be determined to put in the legwork to make it happen, and anybody can do it.
Yeah. I know sometimes it's like we're all looking for something that is just this overcomplicated answer to things like, okay, how do I get the word out about my business? But it's really quite simple. Just as you're saying, it's just consistent effort for a long time. And then you're going to see that return on investment.
Absolutely. And that's the thing too, is, you know, that's where I come in. Obviously a lot of barn owners, a lot of these equestrian businesses, I mean, they're working all day, every day. They have so much going on that I understand that they don't, you know, want to, if they have any free time, they don't want to even worry about social media. You know, why bother? And then it's easier. The more you put it off, it gets easier and easier to just say, oh, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not that important. It's not going to change my business. But the truth is that, honestly, the investment in social media is greater now than ever before, and it's only going to keep going that way. So I think it just makes sense that everybody, you know, has a social media account, because you're going to see more success in your business, I think, if you do have one.
Yeah. I mean, well, and you touched just upon it now too, which is, you're right. People have these, especially when you're an equestrian, you have really long days. You might be out riding, you might be out showing. Augustine, for example, your new client, I know that he is always traveling. He's managing an entire herd of horses and staff. And I'm sure for him, it's like, well, the last thing that he probably feels like doing is curating really good content to help him grow his audience. And I mean, I know I can attest to having you as our partner. It is so immensely amazing that you are there to be the one to, you're promoting us. We have these crazy long weekends. We're building technology. We're building our team. And it's such a nice thing to have, just knowing that Cardinal is taking care of all the socials and all the marketing. So yeah, if anyone's listening and they're curious and they're pontificating on shall I hire Cardinal or social media manager, it's like, absolutely yes. It was one of the best investments that we've ever made.
I'm so glad to hear that. It really, you know, again, I think if you have the time for it, it makes sense, you know, to do it yourself, to have fun with it, to try it out. But again, for a lot of these business owners that don't have that luxury, because it's just, you know, constant go, 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 then definitely consider it, because it could dramatically change your business.
Well, and speaking of those that have considered it and they do have you as their partner, can you talk a little bit about the networking and the cross promotion type of stuff that you've been up to for the last few months?
Absolutely. So as I've grown, obviously now I've garnered a handful, quite a bit of clients, 17, as I mentioned earlier. And one of the things is that most of them are local. Either they're local or they're involved in the equestrian world somehow. And even if you're a local business that isn't involved in the equestrian industry, you still are. You know, like here in Virginia's horse and hunt country, every business is kind of dependent on the equestrian economy to succeed in some way, shape, or form. And so it's been great in terms of networking, because again, word of mouth has just spread. People have reached out to me about working and me taking them on as clients. And it's been great. So in that process over the summer, I started off with Great Meadow and Chloe Zimmelberg and Heart Equestrian and a few others, Nadia Rossi. And now obviously I'm super, super honored to be working with Middleburg Life, which is the largest publication here in Hunt Country, and is just, again, growing tremendously. Our insights are incredible. Our team is incredible. Our editor, Jennifer Gray, has really done a phenomenal job of, you know, just pushing us to, the forefront of our community. So, especially with taking on Middleburg Life, I would say, with them being such a force in our community, them and Great Meadow, it's been so easy for me to network and to cross promote between those channels. And it's really been such an amazing thing because I've seen such an incredible response from our community. Not only have those two accounts grown and are continuing to grow, but more and more people are tagging us in things. They're, you know, going out and they're letting us know what's happening. And it's just very exciting. It feels like people are kind of fueled by the more active presence in these large forces in our community. And it feels like it's momentum, if that makes sense. So it's been great. And again, it's been a phenomenal way to network. It's been a phenomenal way to put my brand out there. And for people to learn about me and what I do on socials. And I will have a website very soon also. So that will be another great resource for people if they want to check me out. But yeah, that's been a phenomenal way to network. And then in addition to Middleburg Life, one of the other tools that I have used to network has been my creative partnership out in Wyoming with the Great Social Club and the House of Perez. Anastasia, as I've told you, a local model signed to Kingsley Models, actually flew out there and had done some work with them. And then I became acquainted with them, reached out. We ultimately became creative partners. And now with the House of Perez about to launch next Monday, probably by the time this airs, potentially, then we'll have a ton of local contributors in that issue as well.
Ooh.
So yeah, it's been great. Again, October is coming up. Then November and December, we have even more local clients coming up, going to be featured in the House of Perez. So really utilizing that also as a way for local businesses and brands and even individuals to contribute and ultimately are going to be published. It's something that they can add to their portfolio. It's something that can be a long-term contribution if they want to keep coming back and giving more. So that has also been a great tool to network because people are excited to know, like, oh, who else is contributing? Who else is in it? What are people saying? What are they, you know, what stories are they telling? So the momentum there has also grown exponentially. And I think in our community, it's starting to pick up.
Right. For those that aren't familiar with the House of Perez and they are interested in partaking in this, especially the equestrian businesses, what would you tell them?
Yeah. So the House of Perez, we feature all things creative and sort of focused on community. So everything from art and architecture to travel, food and drink, obviously fashion. My official role is the style editor. So I report on all the fashion happenings, which is super
exciting. There you go. Next stop, New York.
Paris.
Next up is Paris.
Yeah, think bigger.
Oh, God.
Pegasus exclusive. We are going to be traveling to Paris. Our team was there. Natalie, my creative partner at the Great Social Club, and our photographer, Philbert, were over there, and they were shooting our November issue. They did a ton of networking in person, more strategic marketing. I'd love to have them on at some point so they can share even their insights. But yeah, they networked and now it looks like we're going to have constant travel abroad. So Haute Couture and Men's Fashion Week is in February. So after Wellington in January, I'll be in Paris in February.
Do you need an assistant? I can find something Pegasus to make a business trip.
I wonder if Jen would be able to come with me.
I guess I'm just holding down the fort.
Considering we get out of office. With my
battle Bam. Helmet on. Just leave me in the trenches taking grenades.
No, you get to babysit Chloe. You'll be
there. You go. It's a big role. It's a big role. And I'm going to be Connor's assistant at Men's Fashion Week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a terrible time.
You're really right.
So something I want to pull out of that, because I think this is really interesting, and this is based off what you just said, but also as a client of yours and observing how you operate, and this ties back into the whole just being active on social media thing that we're just talking about before, is that, like, if you are a horse business out there, the real value of you having all these clients that I've observed is that it's like you have access to all of their, you have basically administrators access to all of their accounts on Instagram, Facebook, etc. So while on the surface, it looks like you have all these individual companies, your access gives you the ability to go in there and tag each company and tag each other, right? Which what it does is it has the impact that it tricks Facebook and Instagram and the algorithms to thinking that these different companies and these different accounts are getting a lot of shared traction than they would if they just posted it by themselves. And so the algorithm pushes it even further, right?
So you've
basically built a syndicate of accounts that allow you to trick the algorithms in a certain way. Now, the reason I bring this up is, one, it's really smart and it's very, very valuable to us. It's also a great barrier to entry for clients for you, which is that, you know, someone can't just replicate what you do because they don't have access to 17 different companies' accounts. So you can move those audiences you wish. But where it's really valuable, if you're someone listening to this, is there's nothing to stop you from going out and doing the same thing by putting together your own local syndicate. Like, we are in Middleburg, Virginia. Your syndicate is in mainly Hunt Country, Virginia. But if you are listening to this and you own a horse business in Southern California, there's nothing to stop you from going out, finding 10 other local horse businesses, grabbing coffee, agreeing that you're going to do this together to achieve this momentum effect. And you're going to constantly help each other out and retag and repost each other on everything so that you can get that momentum as well. And so it's such a little, like, it just, and all it takes is just effort. Like, it just takes you getting on the phone, calling them, convincing them to do it.
Someone's got to organize it.
But it's like creating your own little momentum machine that you can do, you know, and someone like you, you're always going to do very, very well because there's going to be plenty of people out there who don't have the time and they want you to do it for them. Absolutely. But, like, if you haven't got the time or you haven't got the money, like, or you've got the time, but you haven't got the money to pay someone like you to do it for them, then you can just do it with some good old elbow grease, you know?
Well, but it's also so smart too, like, as a client and the other 16 clients too, right? It's almost like we're in this little club family where, I mean, I haven't met probably most of them, right? In person.
It's going to happen in a few days, but
even before that, which I'm very excited about it, the luncheon, but even before that, it's like we all are in this together and we can all leverage each other's strengths and our different products and platforms and technology, and we can all help each other out. So not only have you created a really impactful social media system, but you've also created this really great ecosystem that can all leverage each other. So was that your intention? Because it's really smart.
It was. No, it entirely was. I mean, obviously, again, when you have access to that many clients, obviously it's going to help me professionally grow. So I acknowledge that. But one of the things for me, at least, that started it before I even got focused on, you know, which client can I get? Who am I interested in working with? For me, it was just coming from this place of wanting to uplift our community genuinely. Like, before I even started Cardinal, you know, I had my own little account where I showcased, you know, local stuff, local businesses, community. And for me, that's just very important. So it felt very natural as I started to grow this network. I was like, well, you know, why isn't Great Meadow and so-and-so not collaborating? Or why isn't Chloe's of Middleburg at, you know, Great Meadow events or whatever it might be? So for me, it just felt very logical to connect the dots, because I don't feel as though before I came on, there was a ton of active integration or communication happening, especially on socials, between small businesses. So I did see an opportunity of like, okay, people aren't interacting like I think they should, and I think they have the potential to. So let me come in and promote some goodwill, showcase what everybody's doing so everyone's happy, and then our community just rises together. So yeah, I mean, that was certainly my intention and the goal, and it's nice to see it happening. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's cool to be part of it. Yeah.
I suppose too. I mean, this is just me hypothesizing right now, but if you are able to pick up some more clients when you go overseas, especially if you can pick up some clients in the horse world, if you do meet people in the horse world, having equine accounts from a different continent join that ecosystem of tagging each other, etc., I would have to believe that the algorithms are written in a way that international traction would again like give it a force multiplication that would then boost it even further and further and further. So it's a smart strategy, and it's one that you're exercising very successfully. So if someone wants to take advantage of that ecosystem that Connor's building up, Cardinal Marketing, reach out to him.
Yeah. A quick random side note, fact check. So on myself, I had said pontificating, and I think I've abused that word quite often instead of just pondering or hypothesizing. And the true meaning of the word pontificate, for those that don't know, like myself clearly, is to express one's opinions in a way that's considered annoyingly pompous and dogmatic. So I wasn't pontificating. I was pondering.
I was pontificating.
You used a big word, and I was like, yeah, you fooled me. So I don't know, but sure. I could tell that bothered you. I was like, oh, Jen's checking her phone. She needs to like, something's coming. So that's what it was. Pontificating. That's a good, I'm going to remember that. So yeah,
I'm gonna forget it now.
Yeah. Well, Sam, to your point too, about like the international sort of equestrian industry, equestrian economy growing. The next time I'm here, I will probably, have started that process. So yeah, there's some things, happening, you know, some rumblings and some things, and certainly interested in tapping into the European market at this moment, and then we'll see what happens.
Ooh, so, exciting. Well, that's a good transition to talking about what's coming up.
Yes.
Where are we going? Besides Paris.
A good segue. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On that point, you came on here today with 3 points you want to talk about. First being how the algorithms are changing. Second being the power of networking and building these syndicates. And your third and final point that you had on here was what's coming up and your key takeaways. One of the key points you have in there, which would be great to go through, is how you wanted to talk about the power outage of Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
And why that is something that small horse businesses should pay attention to and not think it doesn't relate to them.
Is it instigate? Is that what, hashtag instigate?
Absolutely. The social media apocalypse. Yes, it was horrible. I woke up, I thought the world was ending. I was getting a million calls and everyone was freaking out and wondering what was happening. But
I love the fact they thought you had the answers. WhatsApp all simultaneously.
I was flattered, but it was also like extremely disorienting because I'm just like, I don't know. but it's happened before. I mean, Instagram, you know, we've had Instagram down before. We've had Facebook, Twitter, you know, Snapchat, whatever. We've had all these platforms down before. For me, I didn't think it was anything new. I'm like, okay, it'll be back up in a few hours. Sure enough, it was. But with that being said, one of the little notes I have here is that Facebook, I believe, lost an estimated $7 billion in the few hours that the platform was down.
$7 billion. How?
So it was, you know, obviously Facebook, when we think of it, I think of it as the same sort of caliber as Google or Amazon. It's a massive company. It's worldwide. Everybody uses it. And again, Facebook owns Instagram and WhatsApp, I believe, which also was experiencing some difficulties and things. But to me, when a company loses that much money in such a short amount of time, what it's indicative of is the investment of social media. You know, obviously, I've heard plenty of stories, not only from, luckily, none of my clients were terribly affected, but people who, you know, had placed orders or people whose businesses are solely on social media, similar to my own. I mean, luckily I have, you know, my clients' personal numbers, emails, things like that, but certainly it's heavily reliant on socials. So there were people who lost business. There were people who, you know, had meetings. They had no way of getting a hold of the people they're supposed to be meeting or calling with because they don't have their numbers. They only have their social media accounts and they, you know, only correspond through DM or, you know, whatever. So, for me, it's, you know, indicative of how many people are using these platforms, the real sort of tangible investment that businesses have in Facebook, Instagram, how more and more people are just moving towards it. And it's really becoming, you know, again, like Amazon, it's a place to shop, to buy things. It's a place, as we discussed earlier, where advertisers really like to strategically target and market their products to sell because there's actual money to be made. So when the power went out, you know, I understand why my clients were freaking out. I understand why they were calling me, why they were, you know, wondering what was happening. Because again, in this world that we live in, where more and more people are reliant on the social media platforms, it's kind of like a disorienting thing when it goes down. So,
right. Do we know if they got that $7 billion back?
I would imagine they probably got it back just like that. I
charged double.
Again, it's insane to me when a company that big loses a number like that. But to them, it's like, you know,
right.
It's not
a coffee.
It's a Tuesday.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, they're loose change in their pocket or whatever. So, I'm sure that they got it back, but, I think the wake up call that it had for businesses and people moving forward is the need to diversify the platforms that you're on. So certainly for me, as somebody who is having my website developed, I will be much happier once it's up because again, God forbid, you know, something like that happens again, at least my clients and potential clients have access to me, you know, through a website. Same thing with, you know, newsletters, email blasts. I think that is a really smart way to diversify your communication and the marketing that you're putting out rather than just being reliant on socials. And again, using different platforms. I think you should make it a habit of using Pinterest and Twitter, you know, almost as much as you're using Instagram or Facebook. So it definitely was, I think, eye-opening for a lot of people.
Yeah. It's a very important point, especially in the equestrian or equine world, because you don't have to go very far in the equestrian world to learn of someone who knows someone whose account was taken down and banned or suspended on Facebook, for example, because they were selling a horse or they made a comment about a horse that was inappropriate.
Yeah, you brought up such a good point because Facebook is significantly cracking down on the sale of horses and just other livestock, quote unquote,
types
of things. Yeah. And so we've had, as we've been increasing our discussions, especially at these events where these riders, these businesses, mostly operate through Facebook or Instagram, they are seeing their livelihood at jeopardy because it gets taken down on a whim because it goes against their rules, their policies. And so having a different resource, just as you said, to be able to diversify your portfolio. So you use Pegasus for your listing and you have a means to communicate with other equestrians on an equestrian platform, but then you use the social media to promote it, right? Yeah. So yeah, you hit on what I was going to talk about, which is exactly that, which is Facebook for equestrians is becoming increasingly more difficult and they're seeing their livelihoods be just swiped away just overnight, really.
Yeah, like to put it in real terms, there are a lot of equestrian accounts on Facebook who have invested the last 10 years plus building up a group and its membership base, mm-hmm. through which they either use it to give updates about what they're doing to help raise money as a charity, or they use it to actually sell products, or they use it as a way of getting leads for business or selling their horses, whatever it is. And if the Facebook's algorithms determine that you do something, either something that you've always done, but they change the algorithm, so now it caught you and triggered you and said that you're wrong, or it's just something new, whatever it is, or something that you did that's different for the first time. If your account is taken down, Facebook is famous for the fact that like there's no one to call. There's no helpline. Yeah. You can't call them and explain why your account should be reinstated. There's no way to access them. And to put this in perspective, they're also famous for the fact that they have like hundreds of millions of users in countries and then have like two translators who actually speak that language in that country to do moderation. So they have to use algorithms because they're just working with too many people. So, and your business is not something that's going to ever rise to the level of importance that will allocate a human to actually help you fix it. So if you put all your eggs in one basket and run your business or your charity or your livelihood through a Facebook page and you go one step too far or the algorithms change on you, overnight you can lose 15 years worth of effort and customers and you can't get it back. So it's like building your business on a house of cards that could fall over at any point.
Yeah.
Such a shame. So the takeaway for all of you equestrians out there, join Pegasus, make your favorite groups. It's not going to get shut down. You can sell your horses. You can sell everything. Just get on Pegasus.
Well, and if there's ever any kind of issue or just any kind of anything, they can message real humans. They can message call us on Facebook.
You are absolutely right. I mean, I haven't had experience with a Facebook account being down, but Instagram certainly. I mean, Instagram is owned by Facebook, so same difference. But when my Instagram account, my personal one, it was deactivated, I think because it thought of like suspicious user activity because I started gaining more of a following and whatever. And so it would log me out and deactivated it without any rhyme or reason.
Wow.
Which is the most frustrating thing because, again, when you're, you know, growing and you're just, again, especially if you are a business owner using it for business or for networking, to be locked out of that is really such a disservice. And then for you to have a lack of a response because you can't get a hold of anybody. They don't provide a number. They don't provide a call center. They provide Instagram, but you provide a horrible list of guidelines of why your account may have been deactivated. And then it can take, you know, weeks for them to even email you back, but still not reactivate it. They don't really give you a reason. So again, when you can't get a hold of a real person to get an idea of what's happening, it can be very frustrating. And again, especially if you're a business owner where you've grown that platform and that is your means of making money. If you're locked out of that overnight, and you have no way to get back into it, like,
what are you going to do?
You're going to have to figure something out and it's not going to be fun. So,
One last point on that too, because every time I see it, which is often, it's like a trigger. And that is the fact that you have these equestrian businesses, or maybe they're barns, boarding barns, they're selling horses, and they could be from anywhere or from anyone. And what you see is people will post it in thousands of groups, and the price is indicated by emojis. So they often will use like a carrot emoji because they can't actually specify the price of the horse in the post, because that is a flag, you know, and then that post gets taken down. So having a better way to sell your horse that doesn't involve listing a bunch of carrot emojis in posts that you have to scroll for days to find. Yeah, that's what we're trying to solve here at Pegasus.
If you don't want to, if you've already spent all this time building up an audience on Facebook, you can create a horse listing on Pegasus and then just press share and share it to your Facebook page. Yeah,
actually.
So that way is the way you get around the... Sharing a link, get around the dangers of Facebook shutting down your account.
Actually, that's a really good point. And you have all the photos and all the videos and all the contact information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those Facebook groups should start encouraging their followings to join Pegasus as a preemptive measure in case something like that happens again. Because especially if it's commonplace for equestrian groups and businesses to, you know, get shut out of their accounts like this, then why would you wait for something like that to happen? Like you said, it's insurance. You know, you're on Pegasus. It's a platform built by equestrians for equestrians. It's going to work. You're good. You're not going to get shut out of your Pegasus account. You'll be okay.
You might suspend your account for other bad things, but definitely not for anything to do with horses.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a really good community. We got asked that a lot actually over the weekend at Fair Hill, which was, you know, on Facebook, there's so many times the case where there's really inappropriate things that are said, and a lot of just a lot of mean things that are happening, especially by people that aren't even involved in the equestrian world. They just have an opinion on the horse that you're selling, and yet they've never seen a real horse in real life, nor do they intend to buy one.
Most uneducated people on subject matters to go off. But yes.
Well, social is just, you know, the thing with having such a huge social media like Facebook. And so we're lucky that you don't have to worry about that on Pegasus because they're all equestrian. They all get it. They're all working toward the same mission. So you don't have the random person from, you know, random in the middle of nowhere that's looking to troll your equestrian related horse post. I mean, that hasn't occurred. So yeah, we've got a really great community.
And if it happens, Sam will take care of them. So.
Absolutely.
All right, Connor. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. And I think it was a very successful first quarter show on Cardinal Marketing Magic.
Hopefully in you know, next quarter I'll have lots of other exciting equestrian updates, and again, certainly fingers crossed on that international equestrian economy endeavor. So I am looking forward to keeping y'all posted.
Oh, I can't wait. And I can't wait to be in your suitcase at Paris Fashion Show.
I know. Pack your bags and come on.
I'll help you stuff her in there.
as long as you pack some of your fudge in the suitcase as well.
Done. Well, thanks so much for being here. I'm looking forward to having you again next quarter.
Yeah, thank you both so much for having me. It's always so fun coming on.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.